This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Carlo Koliakovo in here. Noodles calling a game tonight.
What's
Ottawa,
up, boys?
Montreal. Good to see you, buddy. Good to have you back on. This is hour, what, 6 for you on the radio on the station today. You did 4 hours this morning.
Bang!
Bang!
You know it all. You bang it away, buddy.
Feeling it,
buddy,
pal.
I love your activity on Twitter, man. You are involved.
Dude,
like if
I don't
somebody
get to
gets
see
a new pair
anybody.
Of shorts. I know, but it's like someone gets a new pair of shorts. It's like, oh, where's mine? And then it's like, well, St. Louis Blues need a left winger. And then it's, you're just, we call it on this show Critter, as you're aware. Because
yes.
It's Carlo on Twitter, and you love bebopping around.
I do, oh, and I explained this to you guys last time. It being in lockdown, like I just love being out in you know social and you know talking to people and meeting new people, just part of that social crowd. When you're not able to do much, this is like the only way to interact with people. So
you
got to
knock it off with the gadgets, though. Every time someone gets something new, you're like, oh, you must have spelled Koliakovo wrong on that, or it's like
the bag, the tailor-made bag.
You must have forgot my address. Oh, forgot about me. It's like, God, does this guy like a gadget?
Just sniffing around for.
Nostrils fully open for sniffing there.
Yep.
Love.
Did you see that video I posted today of me being excited to come onto the show?
Yeah, thank you for freeze framing my face looking like a complete buffoon. I look so stupid in that video. But it is kind of cool. That's the new, what is that, like TikTok? We need someone from this show to represent us on TikTok. Is it Al's brother? Is it the Grappler?
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. Well, the Grappler, man, I give that guy props, man. He is on his game on Twitter. I love his troll game and his sort of
caption
stuff.
Yeah, we brought him up yesterday, Carlo. He doesn't get a lot of the cred that goes on behind the scenes, but I mean, I just talk to him like a buddy and a colleague, but he does a lot of stuff. I've been hearing all about this guy's.
Oh, the Grappler puts in work, man. We are very lucky on the show. The Grappler, Mullen, Megan, Al's brother. You know, we've got a lot of people that put in a lot of hard work and somehow make this all sound and look borderline professional on a daily basis. But TikTok, I made a note of that over the weekend. I'm like, we're so out of that game, you know, like TikTok is so big and there's so many videos and so many views and so many clicks and downloads and likes and retweets or whatever the hell they call it on TikTok. And I am completely ignorant to it.
Do you think the Grappler needs to fire up a TikTok? Like Grappler firing up a TikTok? Why?
On our behalf? I don't know. There's people out there. I'm saying there's an audience clearly out there on TikTok. Like, you would know, Carlo. You just said it. Your wife is on it. And
she's obsessed with TikTok. Every day she's on TikTok finding new stuff, and I always get it in my ear. You want to do a TikTok video? Can we do a TikTok video? Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you talking about when you say finding new stuff on TikTok? Besides people doing a dance where they disappear and they show up as a circus clown when they wave their hand in front of their face, what are you finding? I have no idea, man. Maybe I'm out of
there. There's different, I think there's different dances. There's different, you know, like schemes that people do, and you just try to replicate it. And you're doing it to a song or to a sound bite, whatever it may be. But like Hayes said, man, it is popular.
It's exploded.
People are dialed in to TikTok.
Well, dude, it's also there's like
5 years old guy. Come on,
that's the thing. Like we're I don't think it's in our lane. You know what I mean? It's not. It's not something that's on my radar. And I'm never gonna do the dances and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about here. But my understanding is there's also, you know, like life hacks that are on TikTok. Like I was made aware of this. I had no idea. A cousin of mine posted some baking video that has over 1 million views.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's watching these videos? But it's if you're into it, like if that's your, it's all based on algorithms and stuff. And if you searched for other videos about baking or cooking or whatever, this comes up on your radar and boom, you've got an explosion on your hands of just going viral and views and people checking out your profile, I guess. So maybe we'll appoint, if not the Grappler, maybe Al's brother, we'll look into it. We'll have a little show meeting. We'll figure out if it's worthy or not for us to get on TikTok. But you're right about just socializing and using social media to do it. I was outside. I was shoveling yesterday, and I was outside with my neighbor. My neighbor came out, and we had a stop and chat for like half an hour that I did not want to end. And I am not stop and chat guy. Like, we're buddies, and he's a great guy. Usually it's a 5-minute, how's everything going? How are the kids? What do you think? I'm, like, trying to keep the conversation going. So I'm like, hey, I'm having some interaction here.
There would have been a way to keep that train rolling, and you know exactly what I mean. Ryan Coke guy?
Yeah, no, it wasn't him, if that's who you're talking about. A, it was before noon, so booze was not accessible at that point, and it was a different neighbor. You're right, though. If it was afternoon and it was my buddy, Mike, it would have been, you want a pint? You want a drink, a cocktail? And all of a sudden, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and everything's all good.
It would have turned into a night.
Yes, it can, and it has. Steve Phillips later in the hour on Bo Bichette, his comments yesterday, and his security at short, you know, moving forward in the organization. We'll get into that more with Steve. But the Leafs game, it wasn't the greatest game in the world. It was one that Calgary had to have. You know, they had a good start. I didn't think the Leafs played poorly last night. But the injuries are what they are. I don't get the impression like Freddie will be back tomorrow night. I'm not sure that Hyman or Muzzin or Thornton will be back tomorrow night either. So what are we dealing with when we drop the puck against Calgary tomorrow? To tee that up and look back on the game last night, we're joined now on the Maple Toyota Hotline by our TSN hockey analyst. Here is Ray Ferraro. What did you make of that last night, Ray?
That, to me anyway, looked like a team that looked around the room and went, wow, we're missing a lot of guys. And they had played so well for a while that just kind of was flat, lethargic, not like no zip. There was no zip last night. And then they were sloppy. They were beating the thing up all over the place. They, you know, just very un-Toronto-like what had been for the past month, basically. You know, they get off to the bad start, and now they haven't been behind in quite a while. And I just didn't think they played very well last night. You know, pretty much across the board, they didn't get to where they needed to get to.
Ray, I don't think John Tavares is playing his best hockey right now. Actually, I don't believe it's close. But I'm not going to go full Toronto and just say this is ridiculous, the contract, he's the captain, blah, blah, blah. What do you think can happen for him to kind of snap out of it and have some success? Is there like a line mate change or a different scenario for him? Or is it just he has got to pull himself out of this? His stats aren't like ridiculously bad. But we saw last night, if the two big guys aren't going, someone else has got to provide offense. And he is one of those guys that's got to do it.
I said yesterday, I don't think he gets the puck moving enough. I don't think he's moving enough on the ice. And when he's moving, he seems to get the puck and it becomes an anchor. Like he's just looking for the next play. He's trying to plod his way and think his way instead of just go play. Like I don't find him, not that he's going to ever run over people, but I don't find him involved enough. It's like he's on the fringes thinking about where he needs to be. Could he benefit from playing with Marner? Hell, you and I could benefit from playing with Marner. And, you know, you're, what are you, 45 today, O?
I am. Thank you for mentioning that.
Happy birthday. I think Marner could find you a tally.
Well, getting around on the ice is a small problem right now.
Yeah, but that's why. You could take your time, and he could wait for you. But I just don't know. Like, you're not going to take Matthews and Marner apart.
No.
Why would you do that? So, like, at some point, you know, he's a good enough player to be able to create something, to create enough chances. But I don't even – that didn't even really happen until late last night when, you know, they put him back in the middle and he was with Nylander and Barabanov. But, like, that's what – he's got to generate it. He's got to generate it with his feet. He's got to move more. I don't see that happening on a regular basis for him.
No, I'm with you, and I think – Marner's comment today was a little bit, you know, it was honest, but he essentially said it was a little bit weird with Matthews and Tavares, and I kind of got the impression it was like, you know, we got our own thing going on, like, let's just keep rolling with Mitch and in Austin, and, you know, John, you got to figure it out on your own in a way. And as much as we talk about William Nylander, we bring him up constantly, he's more of a polarizing player, and there are, you know, there are more fans on both ends of the spectrum. Player fans that love him, fans that don't. Tavares is more important to the overall success. Like, he is the guy. If we're like, we all know what Matthews is bringing and what he will continue to bring. We know what Marner brings and what he will continue to bring. Willie, I think you got to have it. I think if you want to win 16 games in the spring, Nylander's got to be a factor. But Tavares has got to be like a step below Matthews, not like a massive chasm between the two.
Yeah, but saying that statement, Brian, he's not going to be a step on. Matthews is one of the best players in the game. He's never going to play his best game when you're like, that's right below Matthews right now. That's unattainable in my professional opinion.
Well, listen, I the way Matthews has elevated his game this year, that might be true. But I don't think we should just accept that John Tavares is now a middle of the pack second line.
I totally agree,
and that's not acceptable.
He does have to dig himself out of that. But to say he's got to be a step below, it's like
I think to win 16 games in the spring. Oh, I think you need Sid and Gino. Gino wasn't Sid, but he wasn't far behind.
How about just be a go ahead, Ray?
Oh, I was just going to say the every time I think of Tavares, it's impossible to separate it, even though people. You know, say one shouldn't matter, but you're paying him $11 million, right?
Yep.
He has to produce. That's too big a hit in the middle of your lineup to say, a cap hit, to say, oh, yeah, he can be a secondary scorer, he can be a support player. No, he can't. Your team is built financially around those guys being the offensive leaders. And O was right earlier, like the numbers, they look fine, but they're not. He's got two even strength goals this year. Like that's just he needs to be better and is better than that. And as we talked yesterday, maybe the great comfort of all of this is the Leafs have got they've lost four times and he hasn't had a great start.
Well, Ray, just to stay on this Tavares topic, you know, the way I look at it is he's a guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself because he always wants to be the go-to guy. And I still think he can be very productive, but I think it's safe to say that the torch on this team has been passed to Matthews and Marner, and he doesn't have to be that guy to lead the team in scoring or be the go-to guy for production. He still has to be very productive, but okay, he's going in a little bit of a slump right now, but there's still a lot of intangibles that he brings outside of the productivity.
Right, but he's... Don't you think, like, you've got to accept that? Like, you've got to go, yeah, I can. That's me now. And, you know, he always appears to be wound pretty tight. Like, he wants to produce. You can see it in his face, right? Some guys, they'd like to produce. He wants to produce. And it's different to not be the go-to guy. Because he's not. I mean, the go-to guys are Matthews and Marner.
Yeah.
But he... As Brian mentioned earlier, like he cannot be a support guy in the spring. Like eventually, Matthews and Marner are not going to score at this pace. Like Matthews is not going to score every game.
Yeah.
It may look like it, but nobody else does, so why is he going to be different? So at some point, that line has to jump, the Tavares line. It has to jump. And, you know, last night was a game where you know, I was a little surprised they went with Tavares on the wing to start. You know, that caught me off guard. With the changes that were going to happen, I still didn't think that's where they were going to go. And clearly, after two periods, it hadn't worked.
Well, Ray, let's talk about then loading up that top line. This is the second time they've tried that. They did it in Game 5 of the playoffs last year against Columbus, and they did it last night, trying to spark some offense and put all the eggs in one basket. And both times they get shut out, and not only just because they get shut out with their line, but the depth of this team gets exposed.
Right. So that when you were talking about that, I was thinking about at our course, there's this par 5 that I keep trying to make in 2, and I should stop.
Yes,
because
buddy.
I don't.
Because how many times you hit it? You go in the drink, don't you?
Pull out the
yeah,
floor,
and I'm like, well, why not just lay up in front? Because it feels like such a weak play. However, I'd still have the same ball, and I'd have a birdie chance instead of having to go to the drop area. So
why don't you do a hazy B, Ray, and lay up to a hunge and absolutely dig the blade of that wedge into the soil? Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Rod right over the ball.
Oh. You end up in the water anyway, but with an extra stroke.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray. Sorry to interrupt.
So it hasn't worked twice. There's no need to go back to it again. I can see why they try it. It hasn't worked. So I think you'd, if they're going to do something, like I kind of liked when Kerfoot was on the wing. I think that's where he's best suited. It seems like it anyway. So leave him on the wing with Tavares and Nylander. Even last night, put Mikheyev up there if you need to do. You know, you're going to need another winger. You don't have Hyman. You don't have Thornton. Put Mikheyev there. Play Patan there. Rotate four guys through there. Whatever you want to do, leave those two guys, and then keep that second line and see if they can really get some, you know, get some connection. Because you're going to have to find something until Simmons is back and Thornton's back, and maybe you're going to rejig everything again then.
Well, maybe the answer is go out there and acquire Jeff Skinner and see if you can find a way to pick this guy's career up. I mean, he's a healthy scratch last night. They lose, of course. And, like, it's just – it doesn't matter what happens in Buffalo. It doesn't matter who the coach is, who the GM is, who they sign in the offseason. It's the same story. And like, obviously, Skinner is a big story because he's making $9 million a year for another six, and he was a healthy scratch last night. But I read the quotes from Ralph Kruger today. He's not letting Jack Eichel off the hook, and he shouldn't.
No kidding.
Eichel's
Thank
doing
you very
nothing.
Much.
Nothing down there. And Eichel loves talking in the offseason about what's wrong and what's right and what has to happen. Now it's time to perform. And I don't think they can get back into this. I think they're clearly an inferior team anyway. But it just feels like they are on a death march for the next 40 games. And then we're going to have the same questions at the end of the season again, right, with Buffalo.
Well, that's 10 years for the ownership. And they got to be getting a little tired of this, too. That's going to be 10 years where they miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Jerry like, Pagula.
Like, uncle, right? Like, so they've got big money tied up in Hall and Skinner and Eichel, and they've got virtually no production.
Ocposo.
Like, that story. Well, that story that came out last week that Hall's willing to discuss an extension, I guess. He's got one goal.
No kidding. For what?
That's tough, man. What do you do, Ray? Like,
do you know what you do?
I like
you
Kevin to, Adams. You, he's a friend of mine. I played with
you
him.
You got to go to the wood here. Oh,
again,
it's
like
not
you mean
right.
Take it right down again.
Yeah, they're Whoa. Already there.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice. They have cap problems, and they're no good. So if you're going to change the entire way you do business, you've got to change the way. You're not going to do anything with Skinner. What are you going to do? Nobody's going to take him. Not with that contract sitting there. I don't.
There he goes. That's over with.
Yeah. That's
well,
Jerry
I wanted
Pagula
to get into
grabbed
this with,
his line.
With you guys.
Well, what if Kevin Adams goes to Jerry Pagula and says, we got to rebuild this thing? And he says, actually, no, I think we're good. That's a problem. Yeah. That is a problem.
Well, Carly, you played for him, right? I think you played for Pagula. You're familiar with the market. I mean, forget Pagula. Imagine being a fan of the Sabres, a ticket holder, and thinking this is what I've been invested in for a decade. Miserable.
I've made some good friends over there, and it's every year I get the same text messages. Another year, same team, what the hell is going on? And I just, now I'm speechless. I don't really know. To me, when I first left there, I said that they had to cut a lot of the dead weight that they had on that team of guys just being comfortable there and comfortable with losing.
Yeah, I know, but Carlo, we can bring Ray back in. That's been going on for so long. Like, how many times do you add a guy and say, okay, we kind of solidified the goaltending, Eichel's got a winger, and they're still garbage, Ray?
Like, that's where Carlo's talking. Like, everything has to change, and it can't change if you've got the same characters there all the time. Like, if they look to move Jack Eichel, there'll be plenty of people that are interested.
Yeah.
You'll be able to move Ristolainen. Like, I don't say let's trade all the best players, but you have to change the record. It's going around and around and around. It's going to be a decade.
It's crazy because they bottomed out for McDavid. They got Eichel.
And Hayes, that's the problem. If you bottom out again, there's no guarantee – that there is a Matthews, that there is a McDavid in the future. I haven't heard Craig mention anybody that's coming up that's the next McDavid. So it's a crapshoot once you tank, and you've got to tell Jerry Pegula, listen, we've got to get rid of everything. There's no guarantee of being good after that.
So and especially now, you talk about junior hockey, there hasn't been any this year.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to tell who the go-to guy is for the number one pick?
Well, if you can probably go a lot worse than drafting the 6'5" defenseman out of Michigan. Owen Power is probably a pretty relatively safe pick if you get to that spot. But
Ray, they thought they had that in Dahlin.
I know.
What's up with that guy?
But that's not – you can't hang that on Buffalo, I don't think, because everybody else had Dahlin rated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody said, man, franchise changer, game changer, and he's just not been. So I think if you're moving these pieces out, you're going young and cheaper, and you're not blowing the budget out with – $8 million contracts, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you rebuild, you're like if you say I'm going down to the wood, which I don't think they really have much choice, you're looking at another 3 or 4 years. That means they might not make the playoffs for 15 years.
Well, they're probably on track to do that anyway. And then I think on top of it, you got to say, this is my plan, but also I need you to sign here, initial here. We're buying out Jeff Skinner. The guy who we just convinced you was
okay. I read this, Hayes. I might have this wrong. I think the buyout goes to 2033.
Right. It's Bobby Bonilla.
12 years.
Bobby Bonilla had a 25-year buyout. Oh, I wish a team would have bought me out like that.
Could you imagine that? Right.
How did it go down, though, Hayes? Like, how did that go down? He scored 40 goals. Did Jack Eichel tell ownership, Jerry, like, you got to sign this guy as my left winger? Or did he just hold the organization hot? Like, how did...
I think he took advantage of his leverage. I give him full credit. Like, he was a rock star that year. He had a great year. Put up
40
great numbers.
40 goals.
Playing with
Eichel. He scored, like, 28 in the first half of the season, too.
Bingo, Carlo. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Right?
They signed a guy in a career year that scored most of the goals in the first 2.5 months of the year. And... it's still 40 goals, right? You know, 40-40. It's pretty impressive. But he's a – look through his numbers, and he should be a 25-plus goal guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt about it. He should be in that range. He went from 40 to 14.
He picked a good time to get horny, though, I'll tell you that.
No kidding.
Man, the career year and the contract year.
And the market. Listen, that's a market that's – insecure. The fans were like, you better sign him. We got a guy finally to play with Jack. Eichel was probably in their ear like, hey, this guy's working out pretty well for me too. And he used the leverage, and I give him full credit. You're worth whatever team's willing to pay you. Yeah. And they gave it to him. They gave him a $9 million deal.
You can see, though, like, what was their other option? They had two options, I guess. Trade him at the trade deadline or let him walk for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those were very appealing, probably.
I'm telling you, Eichel was a factor in that, because it's like Eichel was bitching and complaining the Sabres are never good, and they were like, wow, we can't let this 40-goal score go, because then Jack's going to say we keep letting talent go. And I'm telling you, man, he's a factor in all of it. Now he's got a lot to say, but he ain't playing that well either. Not even close.
No, he's not. He's not. Since they've come back from that COVID shutdown, I think he has 2 assists. That's it. Like he
got healthy scratch last night.
Well, you're talking about Skinner. I'm talking about Eichel. Like Eichel, he's not putting up rock star points, which will be there at some point. He's too good of a player. He's a really good player. But
So I want to propose this to you guys. You talk about getting rid of his contract. Let's look at the three worst contracts in the league right now: Skinner, Bobrovsky, and Erik Karlsson. Do you think before buying any of those guys out, you try to manufacture a deal like Skinner for Bobrovsky? And see if you can find some magic for both players.
Bobrovsky's not that bad, is he? I know Darren Drieger's playing a lot more of the games, but
he's worth, what is he making? 10 a year, 10 and a half?
10 a year for another six.
Six?
I'm not giving up. I'm not going Skinner on that guy.
No.
I think.
Okay, I got another contract to throw in there, too. Two of them, actually. What about Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson in Nashville?
Ooh, right.
Dude, you couldn't get anyone to take each. Those contracts. You couldn't get anyone to take those. They talk about a I love when they say they got a rebuild and everyone's safe except for this guy and that guy. Yeah. No one wants that whatsoever, period. Period. Yeah.
Well,
but if you're doing one for one, maybe you hope that like there's a Lucic for a Neal deal.
For Neal, that's
there,
what we saw.
Right?
You're right. I that has potential where two teams are like, we're a mess. We've got a grenade on our hands. Why don't we switch it up and see if we can find life? Like yeah. maybe that happened. But it says something about how limited you are in your options. You know,
that's
like
basically here's my bag of rocks. I'll take your bag of rocks. They both make the same money, about the same money. Let's. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's see if it works in your place or my place, right?
Right.
Exactly.
And furthermore, I would assume they all have no trade clauses. Like, there's a chance you could get a team like maybe Ottawa or Detroit if they feel like we're 3-4 years down the road, we got to hit the floor, and you call them up and say, we'll take it, but we need like a first, a second, and a high-end prospect. The player would probably say, I'm not waiving to do that anyway. Like, I'm not going to be just a mercenary and head back to Ottawa or go to Detroit or whatever. So I'm not even sure that that's feasible and a possibility. So, yeah, man, there's some ugly contracts out there. And I think in terms of Buffalo, at the very least, Taylor Hall, you can't even entertain the idea of bringing him back. Like, you can't even think
not
about
it. Not at
that
price tag.
No chance. Like, you can't commit to it. And I don't know what he's going to make. I'd be nervous if I was Hall because he has not looked so good either. And I think he's 30 now or pushing up on 30.
He'll be 30 this year, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that MVP year all of a sudden is in the rear view. And
okay,
that was
so
an outlier anyway.
Who should be more nervous right now, Taylor Hall or Philip Deneau, who turned down $30 million in the offseason and has zero goals?
Right. They are turning
I
on
just
Phil.
Have no idea. Like, if I'm his agent, what? I'd fire the client.
Agent, I'm firing him.
The agent's got to tell him to sign that. Like, you're just not – what the hell kind of money is he thinking he's going to get?
Oh, the agent should have grabbed his hand and
yes.
etched an X
Forced
on the
pen.
Contract.
Yes.
I would have just said it's agreed to. He's signing it no matter what. Don't even call back because I'm not even bringing it to the player's attention. It's agreed upon. Bank it. And I'll tell the guy.
He was Philip Deneau. Like, he's a really good, smart, two-way defensive player, but he's not – like, what is he thinking?
What was the contract
wanted,
again? 5 times 6?
Yeah.
6 times 5. 6 year
six
deal.
Times 5 million. All day long.
Oh,
now he's going to be. Now he's going to be looking for like.
He's going to be Tyson Berry.
A job.
Like a 1 year deal, yeah. Like 3.5 next year.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know, he might get
Donkulous.
More than that. But yikes. Yeah, that hurts, man. You hear those stories over the years. Cody Franson here in Toronto allegedly turned down a pretty decent chunk of change.
I think that's the same
deal.
Deal
at
$3 million. Yeah,
it was a long-term deal at decent money. Ended up signing as like a PTO or something.
He signed in Buffalo with me that year. 2 years, right. $6 million.
He's looking at you as his D partner. He's like, what went south here?
What a brutal turn of events.
Just a few short months ago, I had bank. Now I got Carlo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What is this all about? I need to get my agent on the line. Stats. Yeah. Anyway.
Carlo and Cody Franson are going to be on the Jerry Pegula, like, ancestry tree of doom. The tree of doom. Carlo and Cody will
Franson.
Be on there.
Just, it all
I would have taken the
10-year
buyout, though. That's for sure.
No kidding.
$1 million a year. The Bobby Bonilla. Actually, Steve Phillips is the one that gave that to him, and he's
coming
up. Yeah,
Steve's coming up. We'll ask him about that. How's that working out for you, Steve? That's why you're talking to us now. Anyway, all right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
You betcha. Have a good one. Happy birthday, Ill.
There it is.
Thanks, pal.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one visit, MapleToyota.com or book an in-person appointment. Steve will join us. Steve Phillips on Boba Shed. His comments, his security at short, what we want to see out of him, what we need to see out of him. Lots going on in the baseball world. Dunedin, they're up and running, man. Like, everyone's in camp and they're feeling good. George Springer's there. He's talking to the media. It's awesome. And P.J. Carlissimo still to come. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to around 6:05. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, confirm or deny in about a half an hour. We'll catch up with our buddy P.J. Carlissimo later in the hour as well. Raptors taking on Philly tonight. And the Sixers are a 2-point favorite last time I checked. which I think makes sense. If you're in Vegas, you're expecting Philly, a good team, to bounce back based on a couple of nights ago. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And we'll get into that more
favorite,
with PJ.
Hazy. Hayes Casino. You know what that means to me?
You hammer the dog? You love the Raptors tonight?
Dude, especially if they're playing without Lowry. They're 6-0 without Lowry.
You guys make me sick. You're like degenerate gamblers. Like to actually know what he was talking about when he said, do you know what that means? And you're like, hammer the dog? That's disgusting.
Dude, that's disgusting. Philly's – okay, I'm going to put it into simple terms
for
you.
You're Pete Rose. What?
Philadelphia is the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're playing at home, and they're only two-point favorites against the number 5 seed in the conference.
Hey,
Vegas
Carlos,
is telling you something. They're
Coco,
telling you.
Coco, do you know why guys lose their asses? Because dummies like you and Hayes talk like that in the basement, and they get on their computer, and they bet their life away, and they lose.
Well, we're not talking about anything stupid like that or ridiculous like that. We're just sniffing out a line that I'm with you, man. I'm seeing some weird trends here. All right, let's bring in our TSN MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's happening, Steve?
Not much. What, Carlo overslept this morning, so they figured they get their money's worth today, prime time in the afternoon. What's going
right,
on?
Right, we can't get rid of this guy.
Steve,
like
I knew you were coming on. That's why I said, get me on the show.
Hey, listen, I tell you what I learned from today, hammer the dog.
Yep,
I'm all
exactly.
over that now. That's
oh,
my
the
new
dogs
that's
are
my
barking.
Phrase of the day right there. That's a good one.
The dogs are barking tonight. We love
Steve,
the Raptors.
In your time as a GM, did you ever see weird stuff happening, like weird guys hanging around wanting to know about injuries, any kind of goofy stuff like that?
So here's the thing, that if you didn't see those guys hanging around, you were that guy. So maybe that was me. So listen, there's all kinds of, baseball's really particular. Aside from Pete Rose and the Black Sox scandal, I think they've done a pretty good job of handling that. But, we would have to read in front of the players, before every season, baseball rule 21, it's posted in every major league, minor league clubhouse. They would have to sign a document saying that they heard it and that they understand it, because baseball took, the gambling side of things from the player's perspective very seriously. And obviously, Pete Rose, a bit of a black guy for a lot of the game with what took place, and go back to the Black Sox scandal. So it's something that is very, very – and they teach players coming up and at the rookie development program about the people, sketchy people that might be hanging around wanting to know about injuries and who's doing what, and who's playing what, and who's hurt, and who can't do this, and who's a little bit sore pitching, and because it would impact the overall betting line. And so – I think that baseball's made players very aware of that entire process.
Yeah, we're at a weird transition stage right now, aren't we, Steve, with where legalized gambling is going, and a lot of different states are legalizing it. I saw that this past year, I believe Jersey had more money pour into the state based on sports gambling than Nevada. That's obviously never been available before, but they're blowing past Nevada, and all of a sudden Jersey is there, and I think New York is not far behind. That's coming up here. The Canadian federal government just passed legislation. Single-game betting is coming. It's going to be here, and there's going to be an explosion. And, Rob Manfred's not a dummy. He understands that, you want the integrity of the sport. You got to hammer it home, but you're also in a business here, and you want to make money, and there's a lot of money to be made in the gambling world. So how are they going to juggle the two?
Yeah, I think that I think all of the commissioners in professional sports have realized that if you can't beat them, join them. And so, if it's going to happen and it's inevitable that it does, then you might as well get your piece of the pie. And I think that's where they're going. Quite honestly, you could see such interactive gambling at games from pitch to pitch. What's this next pitch, ball or strike? And you could see the all of the prop bets going, throughout the course of games. And there's all kinds of websites now that have the percentage win chance of a team winning from this point on is this percentage. And you could create wagers off of that. And so you're right. Look, it's coming. And Rob Manfred, like the other commissioners, is getting out in front of it. And the thing that's interesting is lineups go through, I think it's the deal they made with MGM. They get the lineup first.
Right.
They get the lineup before they go out to everybody else.
Yep.
And obviously it's recognition of the necessity to get those out early, whether it's for, the daily fantasy sports or just for people that are there in the sports book making a bet on the day.
We're chatting with Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB and Jays analyst. So Bo Bichette was a story down at camp, you know, over the past 24 hours where he was open and honest. He said, I've heard the rumors. I heard they were in on Lindor. I heard they were in on a couple of other guys, and I want to play short. And he came on this show 3 or 4 months ago. We asked him about it, and he said, last time I talked to Ross, I was playing short, and that's where I intend on staying. I love the attitude. I love the moxie. But he's got to prove it. You know, the bat is what it is. I think that will continue. He's putting up big numbers. He's only played 75 games in the big leagues. But defensively, it's a work in progress here. You know, he's got to continue to work on some things and move in the right direction. What do you make of his comments, you know, addressing the elephant in the room about maybe a lack of security at short and what you hope to see out of Bo Bichette at that position this season?
Right. So I think that I think he can play short. Now, I think he's got a chance to be a shortstop in many ways, probably like a Xander Bogaerts, really good offensive player whose defense, he's good on the balls that he gets to, but he's not necessarily going to have the best range. You know, the big question is, will his arm strength continue to play the older he gets? And will that be the ability to make the play from the hole? And he's fully capable right now. You know, young guys get better on defense. They know when to take chances. They know when to make the routine play. And if you can make the routine plays and have enough range to cover ground, and with positioning today, you know, that changes as well. Now, if they take away shifting and everything else, then that defense becomes that much more important, because right now, you know, they tend to place you where they think the ball is going to be hit in anticipation of it. And so, you know, I love this kid. I think he is to the Blue Jays what Derek Jeter was to the Yankees. He's the face and voice of the organization. He's the guy to build around. Jeter made 50-some errors in the minor leagues in A-ball defensively at shortstop coming up, but got better, because it's something that the more plays you make, the more comfortable you get, the more you experience every type of play, the more confident you're going to be. He can play an adequate shortstop. There's no question about that. The issue is, if you can get within the marketplace a premium defender, you know, then you might have to consider moving them. And I went through that. I had Edgardo Alfonso back when I was with the Mets, who was, you know, an all-star second baseman, and he liked second base. He just wanted to be at one position to play there. And then the next thing you know, I had a chance to get Robbie Alomar, and I went to Alfonso, and he goes, all right, you know, listen, look, how are you going to say no for Robbie Alomar? He's a Hall of Famer, you know, and a Gold Glove second baseman. And so he, you know, he didn't really love it, but, you know, he went over there. And the whole idea is, these guys all think they're better than each other, and that's what makes them great. But they also know they have to be team members, and I don't think Bichette's ever going to be a problem whenever it comes to it, as long as they communicate properly.
Steve, you're talking about Bichette defensively. Brian and I would talk during Jays games, and we would talk about them defensively. And let's be honest, they weren't very good last year. Laughable sometimes. It was ridiculous, some of the stuff you saw. How does the team make the transformation into a solid defensive team? Is that just age with the young guys maturing? Or in your time in the game, what's a big factor in a team making a step towards being a solid defensive team? Because they need it. You watch the teams that go to the end of it. They're all solid defensively.
Right. So it's a great point. Now, not all infielders go from being adequate to great. And hard work can make you better, but either you have that ability to be great at that position or at a position, or you don't. I think one of the keys is putting people in the right place. Put them in the right position. Not shifting, but is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a third baseman, or is he a first baseman, or is he a DH? Your defense gets better when you have players playing the position that they should be and not playing out of position. Now, the left side of the infield with Bichette and Vlad Jr. Would worry me for left-handed pitchers on the mound, right? So you're going to get a lot of ground balls to the left side of the infield. I would say that the time that you would see Vlad Jr., if they play him at third base at all, is going to be against a strong left-handed hitting pull lineup where it's not going to come into play that much. You know, that's why sometimes you can put a guy, hide a guy in the outfield if you've got a sinker ball pitcher on the mound. But you can't play players out of position and expect to be good defensively. And there is something about moving players around, which they like their versatility, but you tend to move a player around because he's not great at one position. And you're right, you love the versatility, and you love a guy who's like Marwin Gonzalez was a guy who was really good no matter what position you played at. Typically, the guy who moves around is moving around because either his offense doesn't profile a very player or his defense doesn't. So, I look, Vlad at third is going to be troubling for me with Bichette at short. It's just not enough coverage on the left side of the infield. And so I suspect that they're going to probably leave Vlad at first for most of the year. He'll get some times there, but I think it's primarily going to be Biggio playing third base.
Steve, what was your reaction to the Seattle Mariners president's comments, Kevin Mather, in regards to some of the things he was very open and honest about, like the way his team made money last year, the way the baseball controls their young players? And then you hear guys like Josh Donaldson come out and just, you know, take to Twitter and say, you just said what everybody knew. Now us players have official evidence that is going to help a lot of players in the future. He resigns after his comments, but what do you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that I appreciate that players reacted the way that they did. But, you know, each case is going to be heard individually, and each team is going to make their own case if they don't call a guy up on opening day as to why the player stayed down in the minor leagues for a little bit longer, for whatever it is. And you know, the thing that always ends up on the club's favor is that there is no perfect time. Like, there's not a threshold that you reach with a player that says now he's a big leaguer. It's up to every team to make that decision. So, you know, all of it was ill-conceived, ill-thought. I mean, it was inappropriate, but it was also offensive. You know, going into, you know, he raved about Julio Rodriguez, one of their top young outfield prospects, and then he said, but his English isn't very good, in a critical way, and then, you know, complained about having to play for an interpreter for Iwakuma that they had there before, too. And so it was appropriate for him to resign, and if he wasn't going to resign, he'd have been let go. He went on scorched earth. He offended everybody, which I guess is some part of it. But what I found most offensive and bizarre was his apology, where he said, my thoughts are my own, and they don't represent or reflect the baseball department or development of the system. You're the CEO and president of the team. Like, if these, he didn't say these aren't my thoughts, I said things that I don't really believe. He actually said, these are what I think. And effectively, he said his mistake was that he just said them out loud. That's horrible. Like, that's the bigger issue for me. It wasn't that he said things he didn't believe. He actually said what he believed, which was offensive. And so I think it was inevitable that he was going to be terminated. And now they've got some cleanup work to do there in a lot of ways in Seattle.
Yeah, big time. No, there's going to be some aftermath here. I don't think there's any disputing that. Always great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, Drew. Good to be with you. Don't let Carlo teach you any more bad habits.
No, we'll try to avoid that. We're making sure we take care of him. Or he's taking care of us, whichever way you want to look at it. Thanks, buddy. There's
all
Steve
right,
Phillips,
guys.
Our MLB analyst. So, yeah, that Seattle story. We'll get into that a little bit later on. And him basically saying it publicly into a mic, and then to Steve's point, yeah, what are you going to do? It happens. These are my thoughts. I don't represent the team. Well, you're out. I can't imagine you're going to get back in anytime soon. PJ Carlissimo on the Raptors game tonight. Does not sound like Lowry will play. He's been downgraded again. I don't imagine we'll see him tonight or tomorrow for that matter. But we'll get into it in the next hour. And confirm or deny coming up in about 15 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get up to in about 10 minutes. PJ Carlissimo on the next hour. Kyle Lowry will not play tonight. Lowry is out. They're 16-0 without him. You know, they've won 16 games in a row when Kyle has missed a game.
Insane.
So take that for what it's worth going into tonight. We'll get into it more with PJ in the next hour. I guess Mike Babcock was on the Rod Peterson show, and we know he's taking a new job at the University of Saskatchewan. And I'm just reading a transcript. We'll see if we can find the audio. But it reads to me as if, you know, Babcock is trying to convince people that he is being treated poorly.
Get
you know,
serious.
Or miscast. And there's a couple of quotes that stick out to me. One in particular, and maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but Babcock said on the Rod Peterson show earlier today, quote, I always said to people when I went to Toronto, I got half my salary for coaching the team and half my salary for getting whacked, end quote. Now, I don't know if he means getting fired, like whacked as in I'm going to get fired and I know
where?
It.
Detroit or Toronto?
Toronto. If he means taking licks in Toronto, that's completely delusional. Like, this guy was given the red carpet treatment when he got here.
No kidding.
Was treated like a god. Yes, it went south at the end because team was terrible.
The players were sick of him. Yeah, the players were sick of him. That's the only problem. And if you think payback's a bitch is what happens, Brian, you talk to Johan Franzen in Detroit and ask him about Mike Babcock. Talk to Mike Commoner. He doesn't go on Twitter and make all that nonsense up because he thinks it's funny. Just ask them. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Crying foul now. Give me a break. What a pain in the ass.
Again, it's just revisionist history for him to suggest, if that's what he's suggesting, that, you know, Toronto was so tough on him.
Yeah.
He had it as easy. Dude, he deserved the love.
Every press conference, the media never questioned him once. Like, Babs, why'd you have John Bellegoat? Yeah. Why'd you have John Bellegoat in the ice within the last 30? Nobody would ever ask him anything.
No. No,
well, do you remember after the Game 7 loss against Boston, he stood up at that press conference and took blame for nothing?
Well, and then disappeared. Wouldn't take any more questions.
Like,
just got
come
up
on.
Left. It's just, if that's what he's claiming, and maybe
delusional.
I'm misinterpreting it, it's
delusional.
We'll get into it more in the next hour. PJ Carlissimo, confirm it, deny coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits. FSRA license 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.